Amen. Church, go ahead and be seated. Go ahead and be seated. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and bring them out. Psalm 130. Psalm 130 is where we're going to be going back into again. We're going to be continuing in the series that we started last week titled A Renewed Soul. We started it last week. We're going to continue it today. Psalm 130. We're just going to read verses 3 and 4 for today. Psalm 130, verse 3 and 4. Let's go ahead and open up. It reads like this. When I'm done reading, I'm going to say, "This is the word of the Lord," and then you're going to respond by saying, "Thanks be to God." So here we go. Psalm 130, verse 3 and 4. It says this: "If you, O Lord, kept track of my iniquities, then who, O Lord, could stand? But with you, there is forgiveness, so that you may be feared." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray one more time. Dear Heavenly Father, you are our living hope. Christ is our living hope. His work, his perfect work, his good work, not just something that was done 2,000 years ago, but still carries weight and is effective and active and at work in our hearts today. So would you move within us? Would you create within us a renewed soul? Would you create within us a renewed mind? Would you create within us a renewed rhythms? Lord, we know that none of this newness that is offered to us is done by our own hands, but it's done by your faithfulness, mercy. So Lord, work within us in a special way today. We need it. It's in your son's perfect name is who we pray. Amen, amen, and amen, amen. So Psalm 130, last week we had talked about just that this year, it's just been a long, long year, right? Last week we opened up with the idea that life has just been very overwhelming, right? Sure, there are some good moments. Sure, there are some good things, and you know, you can call them all out, but we find ourselves constantly overwhelmed, and the overwhelming moments of life leave us sometimes feeling stuck or stagnant or whatever it may be. And what we talked about, that in our overwhelm, those are moments God invites us to find restoration, right? To find renewal of the soul. The situations itself may not change, but God does a good work within our souls and develops us into the people that he's calling us to be. So that's what we've been talking about, is the renewed soul. And we're going to be in this series for another 2 weeks, talking about how God renews us in a wonderful way. Wonderful way. Before we jump into today's text, I want to point you back to when I was in high school after I graduated, back in 2008, after I graduated, before I went off to college. I thought that, you know, I thought I'd make a little extra money because I was a young teenager. I worked at Burger King part-time. I had no money, right? All of that. I mean, so I thought to myself, I need to make some extra money. So I decided to take on the task of dog sitting for my neighbor for a week. My neighbors, they were going to go out of town for about 5 days, and you know, they said, "Hey, can you dog sit for us?" And I said, "Of course." I was only in it for the money, just to be honest. But yet I went on and I dog sit. Can you guys turn me down? I'm very loud. I went on and I remember doing that, and I remember they gave me specific instructions on what to do when it comes to taking care of the dog. They said, "Of course, what you got to do, you got to go in, you know, you got to let out the dog, let it do its business, give the dog its medicine, feed the dog, and then put it back in its cage. You got to do that 3 times a day. For 5 days, I had to do this, 5 days, right? I made a quick little, you know, some good money, right? They gave me the money up front. The first 3 days went fine. Let me just tell you right now, I was flawless. I was good. I was on point. I did everything. I gave the dog his little medicine. I guess the dog had anxiety. Didn't know animals can get anxiety. But anyway, gave the dog medicine and food and all this stuff. Did his business. Picked it up. I mean, flawless. Well, day 4 came. And let's just say that I took the dog out. I gave the dog his medicine. fed the dog, but I didn't put it back in its cage, and I just kind of got a little bit lazy, right? Now, they told me specifically what I need to do, right? I knew what I needed to do, what I should be doing. I just got a little bit lazy, all right? You know, I had my friends, we were about to go out, and they wanted to get out early, and I said, I got to do this, and so I kind of rushed it and whatnot. I let the dog out, and the next day, I decided not to go and check on the dog. Forgot that the family was coming home that day. Well, let's just say because I neglected my responsibility, they came home and the dog chewed up the couch, did its business all over the house, got up in the pantry. For some reason, I left the pantry open, didn't have its medicine for a whole 18 hours, 24 hours. Let's just say that because I neglected my responsibility, I brought much despair and craziness and chaos, and the neighbors hated me, and they still don't like me to today. I just tell you right now, I saw one of them at Target. They just kept walking. I'm like, bro, it happened 18 years ago. Relax, okay? Chill out, right? Right? And though it was an overwhelming moment, right, though it was a moment that brought a lot of stress, right, I remember my parents yelling at me, saying, you knucklehead, what is wrong with you? Why didn't you do it? And you knew what you were supposed to do and whatnot. And I find it interesting. You know, sometimes life works out like that for a lot of us. You know, sometimes the chaos and the overwhelming moments we find ourselves in is of our own doing. Right? Sometimes, if we're not careful, we're quick to blame many and make excuses for many things in our lives of why life is the way that it is, and we forget to put the spotlight on the areas that we have neglected the most, right? I've noticed that for my own life that I'm not very good at taking accountability. I'm not very good at saying, well, I think it is what it is because of what I'm not doing, right? I'm always quick to kind of justify myself or try to look outward and say, well, this is the reason why life is hard. They're not listening to me. I'm smart. They're dumb. I mean, there's all of that. We all find ourselves in moments like that. But little do we realize that we find ourselves in despairs of life because we all have this thing called struggles. We all have struggles, friends, right? Hey, listen, if you don't have a struggle, I don't think church is the place for you, right? I don't think church, we all have these things called flaws, and they come out more than we would like them to, am I right? Right? We all have destructive habits, and these flaws or these destructive habits, They sometimes, if not often, have created a lot of burden in our lives. And we create a lot of burden in our lives. And here's the thing about just our flaws and our destructive habits. They're hard to shake off, am I right? You'll be good for a couple days. I took out the dog for the first 3 days. Everything was good. But then the fourth day came. And I got laxed a little bit, you know, decided not to do what I was supposed to be doing. And then next, you know, chaos came. And that's the thing about struggle, right? And that's the thing about our habits is that we're very inconsistent. We're very inconsistent. But here's the hope of today's message. And here's the hope of the gospel of Christ, right? The hope of today's message is that God offers us freedom and renewal through his radical forgiveness. God offers you and I freedom and renewal through his radical forgiveness, right? God wants you to be someone, though yes, you're inconsistent, you still stand forgiven in Christ. Though, yes, you have your flaws, and believe me, friends, we all can come up here and spend 3 hours talking about our flaws. But even as long as the list may be, there's one thing that matters. If you are in Christ Jesus, you believe in his death, burial, and resurrection, and you have a genuine pursuit of him, there's one thing that matters the most. Despite all of the long list of flaws you have, there's one status that remains: forgiven. And it's not just something that's given to you, but it's something God wants you to live under more and more in your life. So that's what we'll be talking about in Psalm 130. And the psalmist, as we were studying last week, if you were with us, I'm going to give you a reminder. If you weren't with us, I'm going to let you know that the psalmist opens up, and we don't have it for you, but you can read it if you have your Bibles. The psalmist opens up with talking about the despairs of life. The overwhelming moments of life. And the psalmist says, when I find myself in the most overwhelming moments, I bring it to the Lord. I bring it to God. I don't try to handle it on my own. I don't retreat to anything or anyone to try to find answers or clarity, but I bring it to God and God himself. And then he seems to shift. The psalmist, they seem to shift towards this inward reality of living a life forgiven. Look what it says in verse 3. This is very interesting. Look what it says in verse 3. It says this: if you, O Lord, had kept track of my iniquities. Now, we don't go around saying iniquities today, right? This is another fancy word, or another way of saying sin, right? Right? In the Bible, there's like different ways of how, you know, it addresses rebellion or sin, right? There's sin, transgressions, and then there's iniquities. I'll go over that in just a little bit. But look what he says. He says, if you, O Lord, kept track. I love this language. Some of your Bible says, kept an account of my brokenness, flaws, inconsistencies, the days where I go backwards instead of going forwards, then who, O Lord, could stand? But with you, verse 4, but with you, there is forgiveness so that you may be feared. What is this idea of who can stand? This is actually pretty cool. See, here's one thing that the scripture teaches us. The scripture teaches us that those who walk by faith in Christ, those who walk by faith, God doesn't hold your shame over your head. God doesn't hold your flaws over your head. Your relationship with God is not through sin management. It's not through how well am I doing when it comes to my sin or to my brokenness or to my flaws, right? God doesn't hold it over your head what you've done. You know what's so interesting is, there are a lot of people in our lives that are quick to remind us how broken we are. Do you have them? Are you sitting next to them? No. We're like, keep going? Okay, Logan, all right. I made it 10 minutes. I'm good. Right? You know, the world loves reminding us how broken you are. You know, they'll say things like, this is why you could never. This is why you're always going to be. This is why you are where you are, right? And we're always just bombarded with that. And sure, you know, when we hear that, it makes us just downright feel ugly inside. Because we sometimes ask ourselves, well, maybe if I didn't do this, I wouldn't be where I am today. Well, maybe if I really got my anger under control, maybe my kids would actually like me. Maybe, what are you laughing for, Paul? Right? Right? Well, but maybe if I was just a little bit more patient, my marriage wouldn't have ended the way that it did. Maybe if I, and we're always kind of wrestling with our past. We're always wrestling with our shame. We're always wrestling with our ugliness and our uncleanliness of our lives. And friends, believe me, we all have many, speaking of the man himself here. But I love this passage. This passage teaches us this, This is how we maintain our relationship with God, right? This is how our relationship with God is preserved. How we maintain our relationship with God is not because we are flawless, but because he is so merciful. It's not because you got it right this morning and you woke up and you decided to be patient. And God's like, all right, I forgive you. I love you. You're my son. You're my daughter. You did what I wanted you to do, right? You did it. You're fine. But then the next day, you kind of grow a little impatient. God's like, you know what? You're in timeout. You're in timeout. You got to spend this time over here. And until you make it right, right, then we will not be right. But the scriptures are very clear, friends. See, our idea of our relationship with God, your connection to your heavenly Father who loves you more than you could ever fathom or understand, right, who loves you. It is not, friends, it is not through how well you're doing in your everyday life, but it's because Christ dealt with what you struggle with on the cross perfectly and completely. So the goal of faith is not look to me, but it's look to Christ. It's not look how well I'm doing, God. It's no, look how perfect Christ was for me. Look how perfect Christ was for me in my life. Because God's forgiveness, it renews us. It renews us, but it also redefines your identity in him. Your identity in him. My boy, I talked about this at our worship service last week over at Columbia Station campus. And I talked about how my son is starting to learn playing baseball. Now, I never played baseball. I played a real sport called football. But I never played baseball. Keep going. Okay. But I don't know much about baseball, you know, or anything like that. But he wants to learn about it. And so, you know, we're in the backyard, and we got our bats. And, you know, and again, I don't know much about it. And I'm like, all right, son, I think you kind of go like this. And then you kind of put the bat up, and my son's like, that don't look right, Dad. I'm like, you're right. It doesn't look right. Shut up and do it, though. But, you know, we're outside, and we're practicing and whatnot. And I remember, like, throwing the ball to him, and he asked me to throw it overhand. And then I'll never forget, he knocked the ball, and it went into the neighbor's yard. And I said, home run by Anderson, home run. And he got so excited. He said, Dad, did you see? I hit it out of the park. I'm like, you did, boy. Let's do it again. Do it again. And so he goes back up. You know, he's doing his thing. You know, doesn't know what he's doing. Neither do I. So I come over, and I throw the ball. But he misses. And he puts his head down. Puts his head down. He says, I didn't hit it out of the park. But right there, I had to remind him. I said, son, whether you hit it or you don't, you're still my son. See, a lot of us, we grew up in homes where if you got it wrong, you were shamed for it. Am I right? When you got it, when you struck out, when you missed, you were shamed for it. But the gospel speaks of a better reality. The gospel says whether you hit a home run or whether you strike out, you're forgiven, and you're still a child. And I remember telling my son at that moment, son, whether you hit it out of the park or not, you still stand before me. You still belong to me. You're still my son. I still want you. You are still mine, and I delight in you. This is what this reality of life is. See, a lot of us, we think that my relationship with God, I gotta get my life under control, and I gotta wake up, and today's gonna be the day where I'm not gonna cuss out my coworker. Today's gonna be the day. I'm not gonna use profanity. I'm not gonna do this. I'm not gonna yell at my kids because I want to every single day. But just keep moving, right? And we all think it's about sin management, right? Sin management. But really, that's all about what we call sin consciousness. Because notice, though on paper that seems fine, but notice that when we're so focused on our behavior, it keeps our eyes off Christ. We're focused on the sin, but we're not focused on the sin bearer. Does that make sense? We're focused on what I need to do, rather what Christ has purchased for me. Hey, I can walk into freedom today because Christ, he made it available for me. He made it available for me. And God wants you to live in reality, in the reality of his total forgiveness in your life. That's what God wants. He wants you to live from that forgiveness. And there's a few things that happens when we do that. The very first thing, when we wake up and we live from that forgiveness, right? The undeserved forgiveness. It's not like we deserve forgiveness. It's something God gives, not because we're so loving, but because he is loving himself. It frees us from our shame. There are some of you today that you are so burdened by your struggles. You really are. And it just weighs you down. It's hard to look at other people because of the things that you hide in your life. And you're so weighed down by the ugliness and the flaws. But here's the one thing Christianity teaches us. That may be present, but that's not my identity. That's not my identity, right? And it frees us from our shame of our past, and it frees us from our shame of our present, right? And some of us, we need to forget. We need to go to Christ and be reminded, it's because of you. I don't have to live burdened or dominated by my struggles, but rather I can walk in your forgiveness. This is also what I believe. This is very important, too. When we learn to live in the forgiveness Christ offers us, it frees us from others' view of you. You know, the one thing that I have a real hard problem in my life is the reality of people-pleasing. At my core, I'm a people-pleaser, right? And guess what? At your core, so are you. You just do it differently. I'm just the emotional people pleaser. Some of you are laughing like, he ain't lying. Yeah, I know I'm not. Right? And sometimes if we're not careful, we can live in such a way where we're living out a performance so that others can accept us. So that others can, and I'm not saying, hey, we just, you know, should be reckless and not care what people think or anything like that. But if we're not careful, we can be controlled by the opinions of culture and people more than the standard that we are forgiven in Christ. And we are seen as his sons and daughters in Christ. Here's also, before you put it up, Jalen, here's also what I want to say, what living in the reality of Christ's forgiveness does, right? And this is probably the hardest one. The number one, number two, you're like, that's cute. I like that. Pastor's doing a pretty good job today, you know. I'll give him a 4 out of 10 today, you know. This one, I'm going to get a 1 out of 10, okay? Number three, it frees you to forgive others. Because you know what forgiven people do? They forgive people. Forgiven people forgive people. See, this forgiveness is not something that Christ just gives us, but it's also what Christ commands from us. Right? Commands from us. And this is probably one of the areas in our lives where you and I will struggle with the most. Especially Christians today. Christians, what we'll do is the minute someone does something we don't like, we define them by that. We define them by that and we say, yo, I'm leaving, I'm moving on, I don't want nothing to do with them. They did this, they did that, blah, 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 blah. This is who they are, blah, and all of that. And we're very good, and I do that too. And every time we see them, there's a lot of good, but we label them by their bad. You ever notice that we do that a lot in life? We do that with our family members. You could have had a family. Yeah, your parents weren't perfect, but man, they gave you a pretty good life. But you're so focused on the ugly rather than the good that they actually provided. Sure, there's accountability. Sure, there's all these other things that they need to take account for. But at the end of the day, we live life full of bitterness. We live life angry, right? But the forgiveness that Christ offers to us, it leads us to a life where we can learn to forgive other people. Now, let me be very clear what I mean by forgive other people. Because there are people who you need to forgive that are what they call intimate forgiveness. Like, this is what they call in marriage. Like, intimate forgiveness, something my wife has to do a lot with me. Right? You know? She's not here, I can say that. You know? And then there's distance, a boundary forgiveness, right? Because a lot of people think that because when you forgive somebody, that means you got to have that same relationship before. No, that's not always the case, right? I can say, man, I know there's got to be a boundary between us because of what happened, because I'm not going to be a doormat anymore, but I'm also not going to let the offense rob my soul. I'm not going to let the offense rob my peace. I'm also not going to let the offense keep me from praying for you in a good way. Not those psalm prayers that David prays. Lord, gnash their teeth. Oh, my gosh. Okay, David. Relax, bro. Right? This is God calling us to live in his total forgiveness, right? Right? But also to give out forgiveness as well, right? And why do we forgive other people? Because we've been touched by the grace and the goodness of Christ. Because grace and goodness touches our hearts more and more. That's the reason why we do that. As I close this message, I wanna encourage us in this reality or in this way, that God wants you to live as someone knowing that Christ purchased your pardon in your life, right? But there's also a kicker. Though we live from this forgiveness, we also still got to deal with our flaws, am I right? See, here's the thing about Christianity. It's not I can do whatever I want because I'm forgiven. I can live however I want because I'm forgiven. No, forgiveness not just frees us from the burden, but it frees us, you ready, to obedience. It frees us from the things that have mastered us. Look at this verse in verse 3 with me one more time. Look at what he says. He says, if you, O Lord, had kept iniquities. Now, I talked about that earlier, this word iniquities. Apart from, you know, the word sin and transgression, though they're all similar, this word iniquities means someone who was willfully crossing the lines. That means they have knowledge of the truth, but they still break it, right? It's kind of like when my son, and he wants to grab something off the top of his fridge, and I say, don't climb the counter. If you climb the counter, you know, you're going to go into timeout. I gave him the knowledge, right? Don't do it. And what does he do? Right? And then I yell at him because, you know, I'm, you know, not a perfect parent. But anyway, I tell him to get down. And he's like, what did I do wrong? You knew what you weren't supposed to do, right? And so this is what this reality, this iniquities reality means. Is that, friends, we got to deal with our sin. We got to deal with the brokenness and the flaws within each and every one of us. Because here's fundamentally what sin is. And I want to teach you before we close the reality of sin. Because a lot of people get sin wrong, right? They think it means one thing, but scripturally, like, it doesn't mean that. Here's what sin is. Sin is finding satisfaction apart from God. That's all it is, right? Because here's the thing, God is perfectly holy and just, and he holds your good. But at the end of the day, what happens in our lives is that sin isn't necessarily just breaking the rules. It's actually misplaced worship and desire. Because God gave us the ability to desire, right? God gave us the ability to want. The problem is that our desires is meant to be fulfilled in him, right? And all that sin is just wanting to find satisfaction outside of God, right? It's saying, this is enough. This holds my sufficiency. Because at the end of the day, what does sin do? It offers pleasure, doesn't it? Because here's the thing about sin in our lives. It feels good. Doesn't it feel good to gossip about somebody sometimes? Why'd your head go down when I said that? What happened? What, y'all, I lost y'all. What happened? Doesn't it feel good to talk behind somebody's back? Don't you feel proud about it? You feel like a man, a woman, like, yeah, you know, I spilled all their business. I didn't say it to them, but I just spilled all their business, right? Feels good. And here's the truth, friends. Sin lies. It's deceptive. It's a substitution. As the Apostle Paul says, we exchange the truth for a lie. And worship created things rather than the Creator himself. It's exchanging the truth for a lie. Here's what I want you to know. Sin isn't just doing wrong. It's seeking the right things in the wrong ways from the wrong source. It's seeking the right things in the wrong ways from the wrong source. For instance, if you're someone who struggles with anger, which everybody should look at me when I said that. If you're someone who struggles with anger, what's going on? You're seeking control. Why? Because your identity is tied up in superiority and getting your way. For instance, if you're somebody who lying, what's going on? What you're doing is you're trying to escape the consequences to appear better than what you really are. Why? Because your identity is wrapped up in being accepted and admired. If it's lust, what are we doing? We're seeking intimacy because your identity is tied up in value and need, right? Sin doesn't just offend God, but rather it destroys our identity. It destroys our identity, friends. And here's the reality. Not only does it destroy our identity, when we are not good at dealing with the brokenness of our lives, you know where I'm going with this. It destroys our relationships too, am I right? The ones we love the most get the brunt of our brokenness. How come it's like that? The ones we love the most are impacted the most because of it. And the scripture calls us to deal, but also, this is going to be a strong word, kill our sin. Right? The great John Calvin says this, be killing sin or sin will be killing you. Right? I can end with that one, right? Right? But how do we do that? We don't do that by just monitoring our behavior. No, friends, we look to a Savior. And we say, in you is whom I put my trust. In you have taken on my iniquities. In you have taken on my transgressions. You have given me the ability to turn from such things in my life. In Christ, the scripture tells us that if we confess to him, and come to him, he who is faithful and just will cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right? Will cleanse us. What we need the most in life is the cleansing work of Christ on our souls, to cleanse us from unforgiveness, to cleanse us from the passion to want our ways, to cleanse us from our selfishness. What we need is Christ to be at work in the very depths of our desires. And friends, if you want to kill sin, if you want to deal with the brokenness within your life, then you always have to expose light into darkness, because darkness cannot survive in the light. Darkness cannot survive in the light. And what's the light, friends? The light of Jesus. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Anyone who comes to me and believes will not have to walk in darkness, but shall have eternal life. I've noticed this, friends. When I'm not feeding on the truth, I'm trying to feed on truth elsewhere. If I'm not filled here, I'm going to go somewhere else to fill me. And Jesus says it himself, man must not live on bread alone, but what? Every word that comes from the mouth of God. And that's our reality today, friends. That we come before the Lord and we deal and kill the sin and the brokenness that exists within us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I love you and I thank you. I pray that today, Lord, that we can look to today's message not as what I need to do and have to do, but rather there's a delight within each and every one of us that says, Christ, your forgiveness leads me to want to live differently. This forgiveness that was given, not earned by me, was because of your kindness and your grace. That the newness within lives in our lives that you want to do, the newness of freeing us from addiction, the newness of freeing us from unforgiveness, the newness of freeing us from the very destructive patterns in our lives, that this desire, Lord, isn't out of fear, but it's out of faith. It's not because God told me to do it, but because his love leads me and encourages me and inspires me to say, I want to live for the Lord. I'm tired of living this selfless life, selfish life. I'm tired of living this life where it's I make it all about me, but rather I want to make it all about him. Not to get something from him, because he has given me everything I need. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. So Lord, help us today and guide us. It's in your perfect name is who we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.